Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The presenting sponsor of the Locked On Pacers podcast is SeatGeek, the number one ticket aggregating site around. It's your one-stop shop for sporting events and concerts and more. Right now, you can get tickets to baseball games around the country, or you can use it later on for Pacer tickets and more. If you use the promo code LOPACERS, you can get a deal on those tickets, maybe $20 off. If more, remember, use the code LOPACERS for $20 off your SeatGeek purchase. Welcome in the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, as always. Today, we got a little bit of an emergency pod going on. As you know, earlier this afternoon, news broke that Paul George says he intends to not re-sign with the Pacers after next season and go to someplace like Los Angeles, probably the Lakers. I brought on Caitlin Cooper of IndyCornrows.com to discuss a couple of trade rumors, what the Pacers could possibly do, what they could get, what teams might be interested in Paul George, even though he announced he plans to sign with LA next summer. And we talked a little bit about Miles Turner's future with the team. It's a quick 25-minute podcast. Really interesting stuff going on in it. Take a listen. Here we go.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's the Paul George news. How are you doing this afternoon?
Well, I was pretty shocked by the Paul George news, trying to enjoy Father's Day. And then there's the Woj bomb.
Yeah, I mean, I was just sitting outside and I'm talking to my dad, and I just blew up my phone and I was like, what the heck? I mean, I know we Pacer fans probably expected something like this, but it seemed kind of odd for it to come at this time of day right now.
Right, and especially after the whole softball game where Paul George is saying that he's 100% committed to wanting to win a title with the Pacers, which it kind of seemed like maybe he was just trying to say the right things, but it just, for that to come 2 days later that he's informed the Pacers that he's definitely going to leave in 2018 just seems a little out of the blue.
Yeah, and it seemed like it come at like almost the worst time, because it basically takes the knees out from under the Pacers' trading ability, because it looked like going to this draft, they were trying to play it kind of cool. I was saying, oh, we're not going to trade him, we're trying to run it back next year. And basically by doing this, it basically gets rid of all chance they have of making a deal with the Celtics, maybe last minute or any other team. And so I heard that you have a couple trade suggestions. So I know there's been the Kevin Love for Paul George one is probably the most common one still going out right now, but what are some other ones you have going on?
Right, the Kevin Love one I took issue with earlier last week, because a lot of the articles that are on The Ringer, I think I saw another one on SportsIllustrated.com, they're suggesting that they think that just by swapping Paul George and Kevin Love that they think the Pacers could potentially be a 50-plus win team, which I just don't see that as being realistic. I mean, they didn't even win 45-plus with Paul George, so with that being a straight one-to-one swap, I mean, they talk about, oh, Miles Turner could cover Kevin Love's defensive mistakes, but Miles Turner still has a lot of room to grow in that regard on his own, and Paul George was already covering a lot of the starting lineup's defensive mistakes as it was, with Jeff Teague struggling to fight over screens, and Monte being Monte, and that has a potential to be a no-man's land, so I don't see Paul George's Kevin and Kevin Love as a straight swap that's in the Pacers' favor, but maybe you get Kevin Love as leverage in a three-team trade, and then maybe you can actually go to Denver or go to Minnesota or go, you know, pick another one. Atlanta, I think, had interest in Paul George earlier in the season, and maybe they want Kevin Love, so you can still trade Paul George to Cleveland and get young assets in return, whereas now, like you said, I mean, they're going to be getting the half a bag of saltine crackers that Paul George joked about on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, so I think for Cleveland, even though Paul George might leave, the trade definitely makes sense because I think Cleveland's on this year-by-year thing, in my opinion, where it's like they don't care 2 years in the run. They just want to win a championship next year. But I agree with you. I don't think the Pacers getting Kevin Love does anything for the team. It maybe puts them again at 42 wins if they're lucky, but he doesn't really fit anything they're doing, and he's not he's a better offensive player than anybody they have in their roster currently, but he's not better than Paul George on the offensive end, I don't think. But I do think if they make that trade, they'll probably try to move Love in a three-team trade. It was the only way that would make sense because they probably want some young assets in return, like you were saying. And I like how you brought up Atlanta, because if Atlanta doesn't re-sign Paul Millsap, that could definitely Love can fit in that Millsap role there, and that would make sense. But I don't really know. It's going to take. I don't know what the value for Kevin Love is, and I don't know what kind of assets they're going to get in return. Because at this point, it seems like they're going to get pennies on the dollar. Because basically, whoever trades for George besides LA is either going to pay to rent him for a year, or LA is going to get him for a discounted rate. They're not going to give up anybody good. So, do you have any other options you were thinking about other teams?
Right. I mean, you deal with Atlanta, and they seem to have a little bit of a disconnect there because they come out this week and say, oh, well, we might be able to get another team might give Paul Millsap a better offer, which seems to indicate they're not going to be willing to offer him that five-year, $205 million max contract. And like you said, I mean, even if they got Kevin Love in the three-way, are they still a playoff team? And then, I mean, Brian Windhorst, I think, reported earlier in the year that for Paul George, they were going to be willing to give up four first-round picks. Would they be willing to do that with Kevin Love? And then are you just taking back four first-round picks that are in the 20s? I mean, that's not great return. I think the team that the Pacers really should want to get involved in a three-team is I really like a lot of the assets that Denver would have, and I think Kevin Love makes some sense beside Jokic there. I really like Gary Harris as an option. He shot above 45% on catch and shoot threes. He set career highs almost across the board on his stats. And, you know, maybe they throw in Moutier, who I'm not really high on, but the Nuggets really didn't play him in that great of lineups. They always kind of tethered him with Nurkic and either Fareed, and that doesn't give him spacing when he's already a non-shooter. And they, of course, have their draft pick, which is number 13 this year. They offered a massive supposed monster offer, according to Mark Stein, for Paul George. Maybe they would have some interest in Kevin Love to try to get back in the playoffs. What do you think about the Nuggets?
Yeah, I think the Nuggets are an interesting option because I think the Nuggets want a star player, some with some cachet. They haven't had since Carmelo, basically. And so I remember over the trade deadline, that big trade they offered. I think they offered I don't know what the monster offer was, but I think it was something like four or five players, maybe a couple picks in there for Paul George. So I think they would be willing to offer something for Kevin Love, but I still don't think Love gets the same return Paul George gets. Another team I would think they should look at, I don't know about what you think about this, but I don't know what Portland has assets-wise, but Portland might be a team that would look at Kevin Love, possibly. I think Kevin Love has some trade value. I just don't think the way the league has gone, he's sort of lost his... Like, 2 or 3 years ago, Kevin Love was the hottest player on the market, you know. Any team would want to basically build around him. Now he's kind of fallen off into, is he a number two on a team? Maybe. So Portland might be a team that's interested in him because they can package him with Lillard and McCollum to kind of create that trio that they were looking for, maybe. I think another option, I know they're probably not going to make the move, but Philly would just have a lot of assets, and Philly always seems like right now they're trying to bring in some veteran players. I know they made the trade yesterday to get up to number one and get Markelle Fultz, but it seems like if they were to put Kevin Love in that roster, they could kind of run a lineup with Embiid at center, Love at the four, Simmons wherever he's going to play. I don't think they know where Simmons is going to play with Fultz and maybe Robert Covington. That could be an interesting lineup for Love. But I think if you're the Pacers, ultimately, I think if they can get Kevin Love, which I'm not sure they can still get, he'd be the best asset they could get. They should just, if they can't move George for any of the top 10 picks basically this year, and they can get Love, they could always get rid of Love in the next couple years, but they can't get anything in return for Love, anything in return for George that's as good as Love. They got to make the Love trade, even if it doesn't seem like he fits right now, because you got to look 3 or 4 years down the road to who's going to be in charge of this team. Like, I was going to ask you, do you think if Paul George is traded, this team becomes Miles Turner's team?
I mean, I think you have to go to his timeline, because even before this news came out today, I was kind of bordering on the fact that the Pacers were going to have to choose between Paul George and Miles Turner, because in order to put a team around Paul George that would make him want to think it's a contender, you almost were going to have to flip Miles Turner for a star. Well, now that you know that Paul George isn't willing to stay here long term, I think you have to turn the keys over to Miles Turner, hope that he can make a jump in it as far as his pick and roll defense, perhaps extending his shooting range out to three more consistently, setting more stationary screens and surrounding him with young talent. I mean, ideally, if they can get some leverage back in a three-way deal, you're going to go out and look for at least one young player and a good draft pick that you can go more on his timeline. I mean, what Philly did yesterday is kind of a dream, now that you can have Embiid, Simmons, and Fultz growing at the same time together. I mean, you brought up Philly with Kevin Love, and they might want to add a more veteran player to that group. It seems like they would. I mean, Kevin Love's 28. They're all three, you know, obviously not on his same timeline, the same way as Miles Turner isn't necessarily on Paul George's. But I remember our friends over at Liberty Ballers said that for Paul George, they would have been willing to give up Covington, Okafor, and two future firsts, which they just traded first to the Celtics yesterday from either the Lakers or the Kings, depending upon how that pick falls. I mean, like you said, I don't really think the return for Paul George is going to be the same as what you'd get for Kevin Love, because he's 28. He has a history of back issues. He had a knee procedure this year, and he just doesn't have the same two-way value as Paul George. But in regard to what your question actually was after my long monologue there, I think you have to turn it over to Miles Turner and try to look for that young talent, and hopefully Kevin Pritchard can be successful at that.
Yeah. I think in hindsight, those trades at the trade deadline look amazing right now, especially as Pacer fans. We were kind of I at least thought the trade deadline hold on to them for the summer, but now we're not getting anything close. They probably got offered at the trade deadline. But like you were saying with Pritchard, the question is, if how big of a jump can Miles Turner make between his second and third year? I know that was Paul George's biggest jump, was between his second and third year, because if not, this team's probably going to sit around 30 wins if they get rid of Paul George.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I would peg them at. I mean, unless they have some other trade up their sleeve or know that some other free agent, I mean, I don't buy into the fact that Gordon Hayward wants to play here. I mean, I'm not him, obviously. I don't know what he prioritizes, but there's been no indication that Gordon Hayward wants to play here simply because he's from Indiana. I mean, you're hearing rumors about the Heat, rumors about Boston, and perhaps just him staying in Utah. But unless you can land some other player like that, and Jeff Teague wants to re-sign, I mean, yeah, you're looking at a lottery team and just hoping that fans can stay plugged in with just seeing those players grow.
Yeah, I was thinking about it earlier. It's almost, Pacers, since they got rid of, since the Paul George injury, really, they've kind of been stuck in this purgatory of mediocrity. They could have been stuck between 40 and 45 wins, the seven seed. We're this in this NBA area where, like, you're not good enough to compete, but you're not bad enough to become a lottery team. So, you know, getting rid of Paul George, that bottomed the Pacers out for a couple years. That might be bad for the short-term fan base, but in the long run, I mean, you look at Philadelphia. I mean, as a Philly fan, if I was a Philly fan, I'd be really excited right now. They're going to have, like, three young guys. Like, I saw a picture of Fultz and Simmons and all those guys yesterday, and I was like, that looks like a fun team to watch next year. So I agree with you, they're probably, but I wonder almost if they go the opposite, if they get rid of George and just try not to re-sign Teague, not to bring in any major free agents, and maybe just try to, not all-out tank, but just try to win 20 games and get that top pick next year, and then pair that player, whoever it is, Michael Porter's the number one guy next year, looking at it, pair that guy with Miles Turner for the future. But, I mean, I do think, though, if Turner can make a jump, which he made a pretty big jump from season one to two, and make another level, that same level jump, the team could get back into a playoff spot. I don't think the 8 seed is that competitive in the East.
Well, yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's pretty much, it seems like a two-class system almost at this point, depending upon what Boston does and what Kyle Lowry chooses to do in free agency, where it's going to be Cleveland and Boston and kind of everybody else. I mean, Washington's in that upper tier group, I think, as well, depending upon what they do with Otto Porter. But with regard to Miles, yeah, you saw in this second year that when he was in Orlando Summer League, he didn't record a single assist. And this year, in his second year, I mean, he's not out there being Nikola Jokic, but you see that he sees to make passes out of the pick and roll. He finds people in the corner. He doesn't always just look to shoot as soon as he catches it. And I think that was a big area of growth for him. And you mentioned Paul George. And that Miami series in his second season, he really deferred to Danny Granger. And he kind of got some criticism for disappearing. And I think I remember reading a story where Frank Vogel kind of chastised him a little bit about that. And Miles Turner didn't have a great playoffs. I know he was dealing with finger injury on his shooting hand, which really took a hit to his mid-range shooting accuracy rate. But I think that he really has the desire to improve, and he's talking about working on his post game, which I'm a little iffy about. I kind of want to see him continue to grow and hone what it is that makes him special, which is being a stretch shooting five that can also block shots. But him just adding strength and being more willing to score up through contact, I think will be a really good thing for him. But yeah, I agree with you as far as what they should do around building it around him. I mean, I would like to think, well, I wouldn't necessarily like to think, I would think that CJ Miles will probably move on. He already declined his player option, and he'll probably, I don't know if he'd be on board for a rebuild. There's even the potential that maybe they want to flip Thaddeus Young again. I mean, it all depends what direction Kevin Pritchard wants to go. I know that they don't want to all-out tank, that they want to go out and compete, but I think there's a way to do both. I mean, you can be competitive with young guys, and I think there are a lot of, you know, smart Indiana Pacer fans that perhaps would rather see them just watch a youth movement centered around Miles Turner and get a good draft pick.
Yeah, I think this team, one, they're not a tanking franchise. So, like, what I mean by that is Herb Simon is the owner, and he's, I think he's in his 80s by now. I don't think he wants to see the team tank because he wants to be competitive, because he's not the kind of guy who wants to wait around like some of these younger, newer owners. So I don't see them tanking. I might wish they would tank, but I definitely, if Paul George is traded, that changes their entire offseason plans, I think. I mean, CJ Miles could return because they could offer him the money then they wanted to offer him. They can get rid of George for nothing in return, like no contracts back, basically. They could figure out a way to get rid of Monta Ellis, or maybe Ellis becomes kind of a centerpiece. And the Thaddeus Young, talking about him, we got him for such a cheap deal. It seemed like we traded the 22nd pick, basically, for him. So, I mean, they could probably flip him again for a late first rounder, and it wouldn't have lost anything. But what I wanted to move on to a couple of scenarios that I had for you. So, the first one, I don't know how tuned in you are to the Lakers, but I know Paul wants to go to LA, but do you think the Lakers would be any better than the Pacers were last year with him next year or this season?
I don't see them being better, but I think, and I don't want to pretend to know that I know what Paul George is thinking, but it kind of seems like to me that in the immediate, he's thinking, if I'm going to lose, I'd rather lose in Los Angeles for this next season. And then in 2018, maybe they lure Russell Westbrook there to play with him. Maybe LeBron James really does decide to leave Cleveland and go to LA, like some of those rumblings have been saying. I think he's going to have a better chance of luring a free agent to play with him there, where the palm trees and the nightlife and the market sizes, than he's going to have luring a free agent here with some of the luxury tax limitations. But no, and just for next season, barring them making some other trade, no, I don't think that they'll be better.
Yeah,
what the Pacers just were.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I guess I didn't really look farther into past 2017, because for the past few years, it seemed like the Lakers have been kind of the franchise nobody wants to play for, but maybe Paul George changes that in some sense, because he is one of the 15 best players in the league. But it just seems like basically what he's doing is he's swapping the Pacers to go to Los Angeles, win 42 games again, and lose to the Warriors instead of the Cavs, kind of thing, is what it looked like to me. And then the last question I had, the other scenario is, do you think the Pacers decide to bring back Teague if they get rid of George? Because if they're not going to tank, obviously bringing Teague back would make sense, but it's going to cost a lot of money no matter what. And do you think if they get rid of George, they try to kind of cheapen out to some sense?
That's a tough question. Kevin Pritchard seemed to think that Jeff Teague really wants to be here. He's an Indiana guy. I don't know that it necessarily makes sense to shell out that much money to him if you're trying to rebuild around Turner right now, and maybe he personally isn't really interested in rebuilding at this point in his career. I mean, he's never not been in the playoffs his entire career, Atlanta and here. as far as what price point they'd get him at, I was already leery to pay him a max, even if Paul George was here, simply because I don't think fans took account how much his defense really was a liability to the Pacers. He struggles so much to fight over the top of screens, and I don't know if it's a struggle as much as it is mental focus, but then that requires Miles Turner to go out and hedge, and then when Miles Turner has to hedge, he's not that quick on his feet defending in space. Paul George has to help off his man to do the pick and roll, wide open threes. I think the Pacers were, I don't have the exact number, but I think they were in the bottom five in three-point attempts per 100 possessions allowed last season. I mean, that's bad, and a lot of that was a difference between George Hill's wingspan and his ability to stay connected to his man's hip and Jeff Teague. So I wasn't necessarily sold on paying him the max, even if they were trying to run it back and compete next year. I do have this outlying thought that with the Warriors appearing so dominant right now, does that depress the entire free agent market? Because how much are teams really going to be willing to pay for people like Jeff Teague if they don't really feel like adding one more piece is going to put them over the top to win a title? So it's possible in that regard that if the Pacers really thought, you know, we'd like to have a more veteran player around some of our young guys, Jeff Teague wants to be here, maybe they could get him at a slightly discounted rate, but I'm not sure it really makes sense to keep him outside of just the idea of him mentoring some younger guys that they might draft or acquire in a trade package.
Yeah, I think it can't be underestimated how much Teague wants to stay here, because he is an Indianapolis kid from Indianapolis. He might like just being home kind of thing, you know. So and if he wants to stay, he'll probably take maybe not a huge discount, but maybe he'll take, you know, 18 million years out of 20 or something like that. But it just, what you were saying about depressing the market, it just brings back to, it makes so much sense right now for the Kevin Love for Paul George trade, just because if nobody thinks they can win, only two teams think they can win a championship. Cleveland's the only other one that thinks they can win, and it makes sense for them to flip George for Love because it just fits their system better. Is there anything I didn't ask you about that you wanted to say?
Well, just with the Lakers, I mean, I get that right now, because Paul George put it out there essentially that that's the team that I want to be at. I want to accept that Kobe mantle. And, you know, you grew up being a Kobe fan, grew up an Angelino through and through. I still think that the Pacers might have a slight, tiny bit of leverage with the Lakers if they were willing to take on the Deng or the Mozgov contract, which, you know, plug your nose type thing and have to go on with it. But maybe if they told the Lakers, hey, you're going to want more money to spend with Paul George coming there, so in trade, we'll be willing to take on your bad contracts if, you know, you'll give us Russell and a draft pick. Or, you know, it sounds like Brandon Ingram's untouchable. I mean, just listening to that, I still think I agree with you. Like, I don't want Kevin Love one for one. I don't think that makes sense for the Pacers, but I do think it makes sense for the Pacers to try to engage Cleveland right now to get Kevin Love to reroute him somewhere else over taking, you know, Jordan Clarkson and Julius Randle from the Lakers. I mean, if you're just going to have to take, and really from the Lakers' position, why would you even want to trade for George right now? I mean, why redo the mistakes that Carmelo Anthony did with the Knicks? And why gut your roster when you already are guaranteed that this person wants to come and play for you in 2018?
Yeah, it would only make sense, like you were saying, if they took on one of the Deng or Mozgov contracts. But they could also, they just could use the stretch provision on one of those players if they traded for them. It would mean they have to keep Monte for another year, but they could theoretically, you know, take on, let's say, Deng's contract and then spread it over, I think what you can do, 6 years, I think, or 5 years with his, I think he has 3 years and $54 million left, so you could do, you could stretch it over, make it a $10 million cap hit, let's say, for a little longer. But it just, like you were saying, it doesn't really make sense for LA to just shell out everything, because he's basically said, I'm going to come there next year, unless they can get something more in return. I think a trade that could happen is maybe a Russell and Randle with like a Deng or Mozgov, you know, for George. That makes the most sense. I think if they can get that, that's probably even probably the best offer they can probably get from LA, if they can even get that. But I don't know if they're able to get that. You can write anything this week?
We might. Well, depending upon where this Paul George story leads us, we'll probably be seeing something just overviewing all of this, and some of I might highlight a few things that we brought up here today, and wherever draft night leads, that's sure to I'm sure Woj will have plenty of information for us leading into draft night.
Yep. I'm sure right now there's news, but it's like just you don't know what can happen. It could be the next 4 days could be kind of a wild ride for the Pacers at this point. You don't know who they're going to trade, how they could end up in the draft, who they end up with. It could be kind of a crazy week.
But and you also don't know what the Celtics are planning to do with all the picks they just accumulated either. I mean, I don't think that they would gamble for Paul George. Danny Ainge is a bit of a risk taker, but you don't know if they're looking at Jimmy Butler, if there's, you know, that's an outlier.
Yeah, if they could somehow swing Butler and George together, they might take that gamble. You know what I mean? If they're able to get two superstars, they might gamble on one of them, thinking they can get him to stay. But it'll be interesting to see, for sure. I would say, thank you for coming on. You should do this more often. You're really good at this.
Oh, I had a good time. Yeah, good conversation.
Yeah, you should come on more often. But thank you for your time.
Oh, and go back to enjoying your Father's Day with your dad.
Thank you, Caitlin, for joining us. As always, the Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. If you want to subscribe to our podcast, you can go to the iTunes page. We're on the Locked On NBA channel. We're also on Stitcher and SoundCloud on the Locked On NBA channel. Please subscribe. Please comment. Any reviews, anything like that. I love comments. I love to hear what your feedback is. Whatever you can do, it's much appreciated. I take that stuff, and I don't take it in criticism. I take it in stride, and I want to get better at this. So if you have any opinions, whatever, feel free to put them in the comment section. Thank you for listening, and have a good rest of your Father's Day.